staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Come celebrate Independence Day with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th. The celebration starts at 10 a.m.
Well, hallelujah, I hear the voice of the Lord. Joy's gonna come in the morning.
The Redemption Trio will be in concert. There will be a special pulpit message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, then a barbecue lunch following the services. Celebrate America's independence at First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th, starting at 10 a.m. with the Redemption Trio.
There's a promise coming down that does it roll.
First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. First Conservative Baptist Church, expository preaching, changeless message for a changing world.
And there's a promise coming down that does it roll.
Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we are so concerned about and vitally interested in, therefore we're talking about today, should Christians, should conservatives, should patriots be involved in the political process? That is, should we vote? Should Christians speak out against the evils of the administration that we have in power today? Should we recognize that our nation is rapidly defaulting to a mob rule, which is called democracy? I get a little bothered when I hear Joe Biden and the other woke political left talking about somebody endangering democracy, our democracy, that Trump is going to harm our democracy or destroy our democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. We're not a democracy. We're rapidly defaulting to a democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. One of the things that I believe that we fail to recognize as Christians and as conservatives, the government has a whole lot to do with the way we view morals and ethics and values. The government today has a significant influence over the lives of human beings in our nation with morals and convictions. And as a result of that, the people in society seem to think that we need to bow to what government says more than what God says. That's my concern today. And more than that is where pastors will say, well, God is sovereign, therefore I don't need to vote. God is sovereign. Whoever goes into office, it makes no difference. So the question, Dr. Phelps, does it make a difference who goes in office? And is God sovereign? And if he is, what does that mean? Where is it found? How do we conclude that? And how do we respond to it?
I have read through the Bible quite often, and I have not found the word sovereignty in the Bible, in our King James Version. As you said a few minutes ago, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and following, Adam was given a definite command, and a command that he should not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, Adam did choose. He chose to disobey.
Mm-hmm.
Adam could choose to obey, or he could refuse to obey. So the sovereignty of God, as it is spoken of by some in our Christian circles, is being confused today.
That's right.
In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 13, Lot chose to dwell in the plain of Jordan, and he moved toward Sodom. He made a choice to dwell where then there was wickedness. Abraham chose to dwell where God would be honored. God gave Abraham a place to live, an inheritance. And Abraham was prone to allow God just to choose for him. And that's a good kind of thinking. It's okay to do that. But you see, God allows us to choose.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua was talking with the leaders of the nation of Israel and about the matter of choice. And Joshua said, you can choose whatever you want to choose, but it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's a choice. Absolutely.
That's a choice they make. Mm-hmm. Also, I was thinking along the same lines there. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, there's a matter of choice. The Bible tells us in Romans that we can make a choice about who we're going to serve or what we're going to serve. And so the matter of choosing to serve God, serve righteousness, or we will choose to serve sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with our will. We must yield ourselves to God as those who are in Christ, alive from the dead, and the members of our body yielded to God.
Yes.
So that we'll not serve sin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a choice we have to make concerning this matter of our daily walk. The Apostle John spoke about that in his epistles. And in one place, he says that we can choose to walk in truth. I like the way he stated to live or to behave ourselves. Our way we live, our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We're to walk in truth. It's a choice that we make today.
It's a choice.
Many people ignore God's truth. Therefore, they cannot be walking in truth. Truth is so important in our lives today. And the Bible is a book of truth. It is the book of truth.
That's right. I call it the truth book.
When we choose to walk in truth, then we're walking in God's way, in God's will, to please Him. Quite often, the Apostle Paul would write that you walk pleasing unto God, walk to please God. And we can only do that as we allow the Word of God to guide our steps, allow the Spirit of truth to guide our minds and our hearts. So there's a choice that we can make, and that choice then has to do with serving and pleasing God.
But with that choice, Dr. Phelps, it does not counter, it does not undermine, it does not control God's total power. In fact, I'm looking at an article on that subject. It says, talking about the implications of sovereignty. When then does these details around the idea of the word sovereignty? In the Bible means considered together, depending on your faith, you may view it as unlimited power of God or the reflection of the country's founding principles. But ultimately, the implication of the concept of the sovereignty of God or ruler are quite profound. In fact, modern-day societies are not too far removed from the idea of just simply calling it a higher power rather than referring to it as God. And further, the writer says, in the modern age, there's much debate around the idea of the higher power or absolute authority. In other words, the writer goes on to say that with the new technological advancements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there's no such thing as there being a higher power that controls we the people, that we the people make the choices and decisions outside of anything that would be called the higher power. Then you have those, as some preachers, that will pervert the sovereignty of God and say, because God is sovereign, we ought not to do anything. How do you juxtapose that? What are your thoughts? Should Christians vote? Should we be concerned? Should we pray? Should we plan? Should we be involved? Or should we just sit back in lackadaisical mode and say, when it comes to the election, when it comes to moral issues, comes to ethical issues, when it comes to whether the Bible ought to be in the classrooms or not, when it comes to whether or not we pray, we're able to pray publicly, well, let's just don't worry about that. God is sovereign. He's going to work it all out. Dr. Phelps, what do you say to those that have that mindset?
Well, there's one passage in the scripture that I highly regard and think about quite often. When David and his son Solomon were preparing to build the magnificent temple, that under God's direction, it was God's will for them to proceed and to build this magnificent place where people could come and meet with God and fellowship with Him on the basis of a sacrificial offering. It would be the center of the worship of God. And David was so overwhelmed with what God was doing that he said these words. He says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." In his humility and gratefulness, he was praising God for all that God is. God is over all. That's a key word that I find. And that means that God is great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable in Psalm 145, verse 3. God is over all, but that does not mean that he doesn't want us to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Here were some people who were deciding that they were going to follow the Lord. They were going to give him preeminence in their lives. They were going to build this temple. And the temple was designed in heaven. It wasn't Solomon's plans that he had drawn up.
He didn't have the blueprints. God did.
He had divine blueprints. And so God is great, yet he chooses to allow us to exercise our human will.
Mm-hmm.
He does not impose upon our human will. He wants us to make choices, and those choices then that we make will honor him, bring glory and honor to him. So we believe that the scriptures teach us that God allows you and me to choose to serve him.
Absolutely. He's the ruler over it all, and when we look at his omniscience, his omnipotence, his omnipresence, all combined, we can say that God is sovereign, and that's, as you said, a theological term that we use, and because God is sovereign, that doesn't mean that he's a dictator, that he's going to force humanity to make decisions that's contrary to what humanity decides to do. And when we recognize, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the thing that I get to that's so bothersome to me personally, is the fact that government and the rules, the regulations, the laws, and things that are promulgated out of the legislative process have the feeling and somehow the mindset that government is sovereign, that government is overall, that government has the final say-so. And that is not so at all. In fact, Dr. Phelps, in Psalms 94, verse 20, God says, "Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? which frameth mischief by a law? God is saying, God forbid that there be any fellowship with God and government in making laws that are twisted, perverted, sinful. The word iniquity means lawlessness. The word iniquity can be translated also perverted, twisted sin. So let me read that again. Psalms 94:20. God says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? And the answer to that is understood, no. God forbid. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we need to recognize the depths that we have plummeted under the Biden administration. I believe that as Christians, we need to come out of the closet and up under the bed and let our light shine, our salt be a preservative, and speak the truth in love and state what we see is destroying our nation. We're watching the nation's destruction, not only financially and by the defaulting of the government to the lowest common denominator to appease and please the secularists, the socialists, the Marxists, the ones that are so wicked and evil in society, and disregarding anything that's called morals and ethics and values. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today under the Biden administration the attacks on our faith and our family and our freedom as never before. We're watching a push today to force the LGBTQ sodomite agenda on our kids in the schools, even to the point of having our children undergo the barbaric surgeries that is being pushed by the government, the Biden administration in particular, being pushed by the Biden administration into the Department of Education, Department of Education to our schools, where the school teachers and the school counselors feel that somehow, some way, it is their responsibility, their job, and their duty to change the gender of a child. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, some of the latest reports, some of the latest medical reports says that a child that goes through the dysphoria of saying, a little girl says, I'd really like to be a boy, that this mindset usually within a 3 to 5 year period of time dissipates and they grow into being the gender that God's created them to be, without having to the barbaric procedures of butchering a healthy body. Our nation, ladies and gentlemen, also, today we have no borders. Why? Because of the Biden administration. So my question to you listening today, you may be a conservative, you may be a patriot, you may be saved, and I pray that you are, but in either event, ladies and gentlemen, what is wrong with taking a stand morally, ethically, and standing in the public square and saying, we have had enough, we want a change, and making the moral, ethical decision that we're going to speak that forth as a Christian. I'm a little wary, Dr. Phelps, with Christians thinking that we need to be silent, that somehow we need to stay in the closet, that somehow it's okay to talk about political things at home or behind the closed doors of the church, but you're not supposed to do it publicly. You're not supposed to say anything about what the government is doing. The push today for abortion, the major thing that's on the agenda for many states today, is to elect officials based on their stand on murder by way of abortion. And I think it's time, ladies and gentlemen, that Christians and Christian pastors, Christian generals and churches, that we need to say no to murder by way of abortion. We need to say, I don't care what government says, I don't know what God says, and we're going to be obedient to God. As citizens, we're called to be Christian Christians that are concerned, and as a result of concerned Christians, Dr. Phelps, we're made fun of today and called Christian nationalists. Well, perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening, you say, what is a Christian nationalist? Well, if you have a Bible, if you wave the flag, that's the American flag, if you pray, if you are against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, if you're against abortion, if you own a gun, and if you stand for President Donald J. Trump, you're a Christian nationalist. You can count me in. If that's what a Christian nationalist is, I am glad to be in that camp. And I want the world to know it. I'm ashamed, not ashamed of saying, I stand for God and I stand for the goodness of our nation and where God would have us to be as a nation again. Listen, government can pass evil, wicked laws. That doesn't mean that Christians need to be silent about it. Dr. Phelps, I'm reminded of what took place in the book of Esther. Let me see if I can find one little verse and read that in the book of Esther, the third chapter and the 13th verse. The Bible says this, And the letters were sent out to post in all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, and in the day, and in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey. The government signed a bill. The king signed a bill, signed a law, that said in that day, Esther chapter 3, verse 13, the little book of Esther, said that it's okay. The law said it's okay. In fact, it was promulgated and to be carried out that every Jew would be killed on a certain day, and that the raiders in the homes, the military forces, could go in, kill the family, take their belongings, pillage everything, all that they wanted, take the homes and their goods, and it's okay. Now, the law was passed. That was law. But, ladies and gentlemen, when it was brought to the king's attention as to what the damage would be and the end result of it, a new law was signed, according to Esther chapter 8. A new law was signed and was then carried out by horseback, if you will, by a postal carrier that did not have an electric vehicle out of that day. It was carried out to all of the 128 outposts, and they told the Jewish people, when they come to kill you, rise up and kill them first. That's the self-defense that we find today in our Bill of Rights. So the point that I make, Dr. Phelps, with that statement for our listeners to understand, evil, wicked decisions can be made by government, and it's the responsibility of God's people, the Christians, and others that would be considered conservatives and patriots, to take a stand and say, we're going to be salt and light. We're not going to allow that to destroy our nation. So, Dr. Phelps, what say you in relationship to the Christian's responsibility? Should we be silent? Should pastors, churches, and Christians stand for truth? Should we be seen and be heard in the day in which we live? Should Christians vote or just be in silence? I know that's a number of questions in one, but respond to that for us.
Well, I would like to just make these four statements, if I may. What should I do? One, I believe we need to respect the office of our government, public officials, local officials. We should pray for those in authority.
Mm-hmm.
But we should vote, accept your responsibility to be well-informed as a citizen. And when you vote, then you will do so knowing what you're doing. Many of our voters in the state of Florida this year will look at a ballot, and it will have many things on that by way of things we can choose to vote for. And I think you should be informed about what you're voting about. You should study and know what you're going to be voting for. Many people will vote yes, but know nothing about the amendment.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that is not exercising responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the cases about the amendments, in most cases, you should vote no, because these things should be dealt with by our legislature in our capital, not on a ballot. Because we cannot all know what is best or how what's involved in many of these issues. So we should vote no. And then I think we need to encourage good government and just laws by contacting our elected officials and do all that we can to promote peace and good government and good relationships among our citizens today.
Absolutely. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I'm looking at an article that says, voters who support faith, family, and freedom are implored to run, to walk, or crawl, if necessary, to the polls. This article reads, Christians across America and anyone who endorses faith, family, and freedom have been given their marching orders for this November's presidential election. The left is not only waging legal warfare against Donald Trump, They're attempting to prevent half of the country from having any say in the governance of our nation, and they have weaponized the legal system to ensure their success at all costs. Quote, they are already using our legal system to go after pro-life activists, patriotic Christians who defend religious liberty. The deep state is spying on conservative parents, spying on Christians, treating them like enemies of the state. They've even gone so far as to compare caring parents to domestic terrorists, end quote. Further quote in this article, the left has repeatedly contended that conservatives are the threat to our democracy, yet they are the ones who are aggressively attacking our constitutional republic with blatant disregard for our fundamental rights. We cannot remain silent against such explicit tyranny. Dr. Phelps, God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and in that order. And in Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7 in particular, the scripture is clear that government, civil government, we call it politics today, civil government is designed and created by God as a slave servant of God.
That's right.
To prosecute evil and to protect good. But we have come into the day of Isaiah 5:20, and I'll paraphrase it, where good is evil and evil is good. And that's what we're witnessing today. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, it is so imperative for us to do three or four things. Let me share these in closing. I believe we must pray. We need to seek God's face and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I believe we need to prepare. Prepare for the persecution and prosecution of believers. Jesus said this would happen in John 15, 18, and 20. Jesus said that the world hated him, it's going to hate the Christian. If the world persecuted him, the world's going to persecute the Christian. And that's what we're seeing today. We need to plan. We need to plan now to vote. We need to plan now how we're going to vote. We need to plan now and tell others, encourage others to vote according to the will of God, based on the authority of the Scripture, voting for our freedom, for our family, and for our faith to remain, rather than it being undermined and destroyed. And we need to participate. We need to participate in civil government. We need to stand up. We need to warn others of the dangers. I go back, Dr. Phelps, to Ezekiel chapter 33. Where Ezekiel talked about the watchman on the wall, of warning, of danger ahead. And I think that's what we're doing today. As we see the danger ahead, we need to warn that everyone under the sound of my voice, stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be salt, be light, and be ready to vote for truth and stand for truth and tell others about it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the radio in St. Simon's Island at 91.3.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard